Well, how many people received a Christmas card with three kings sitting on camels following a star? Anyone? So I think quite a few of us probably did. And I suppose quite a few of us might have even sent them as well. And today, we've put these three kings into our crib. And everywhere you go, if you look at a crib, you usually see three kings. Well, in preparing for this sermon today, something struck me that had never struck me before. And to say that after so many years, not just of being a Christian, but also being a priest, is quite a shock to me. That the three kings really have nothing to do with Christmas. Let me explain. In the Christian church, we've slotted them in to our celebration of Christmas because it's a convenient place to put them. And that's fine. But think of the gospel that we've just read, and especially the description right at the end about what they did after they left Herod. But before that, there's very little we know about these people that came from the East. And over the years, the church has sort of thought of different things about them. We've called them kings. We call them wise men. We call them the Magi. We've guessed that there were three of them because there are three gifts mentioned. But we don't know. It could have been more. It could have been 20 of them. Or 21. And 7 of them brought gold, and 7 of them brought frankincense, and 7 of them brought myrrh. We don't know. Where did they come from? We don't know. The East. Could be anywhere. What were the names? Now you're going to tell me that there's Balthazar and there's... Who were the other two?
Caspar and Melchior.
Who made those up? Who invented those three names? Where did they get them from? Because the only little bit that we know about these people who came from the East is what we just read in Matthew's Gospel. And if you remember in that passage, when they get to Bethlehem, where do they enter? They enter the house. Not a stable. They enter the house where the child was. So chances are that these visitors from the East, let's not add in things that they've not been told, these visitors from the East, it's thought probably came along a little bit later. And that's why Herod, you see, decided that he would kill every male child under the age of 2. Because also, if they came from the East and they were following the star, and the star arose on the night that Jesus was born, it's going to take them a bit of a while to get there. So we don't know very much about these people who came from the East. But we do know they brought these three wonderful gifts of gold, frankincense, and in a Liverpool accent, myrrh. At first glance, Rather stupid presents for a baby. I mean, these days, I mean, what would you take? If you turned up with gold, frankincense and myrrh, I don't think the parents would be too happy. They'd probably be a bit better off with nappies.
But they bring these three gifts.
And over the years, the church has put together ideas of what these three gifts represent. Gold that you would give to a king. Frankincense. Can't remember, what's the frankincense linked to? The myrrh's linked to death. What was that? Frankincense, God. Offered to God. Right, there we go. So we've thought of what are these three gifts all about. Now you're probably wondering where I'm going with this. Because you see, we're just starting a new year. And just like those people from the east, I almost said those three kings again, but those people from the east, when they'd been to visit Jesus, they decided that they would go back by a different route. They would travel a different road. The invitation to us today as followers of Jesus as we start our new year is to look at the road that we are travelling and to take this opportunity perhaps to go down a new road for the coming year. But we're also being asked by keeping today's Feast of the Epiphany, we're also being asked to ask ourselves, what gifts are we going to bring during this coming year? And it's not really that important what the gifts are. What is important is what is behind the giving of the gift. We often say that it's not the gift, it's the thought that counts. It is, it's behind what we give that's important. Because if we think of giving gifts to Jesus, what can we give that reflects what we've been given? In Jesus, God has given us so much, we could never give back an adequate gift. In one of the carols, I don't suppose we're singing it today, no. In one of the carols, we do sing in the final verse, "Yet what I have, I give him. Give him my heart." So as we travel this road in this year, we're invited to give the most precious of all gifts to Jesus. That of our heart. And how do we do that? We do that in the coming year by making a real effort to spend more time with Jesus. In other words, in prayer. We do that by making an effort in the coming year to be more caring and more thoughtful and more compassionate, especially to those who are in most need. And to do it with a generous heart. So today, my invitation, as we keep this Feast of the Epiphany, is to think of the gifts that they gave and to ask ourselves, what are these gifts that I'm going to give to Jesus in the coming year? And if just like those kings, it will involve me going back by a different route, then let's have the courage to be able to take what somebody also said in a book, the road less travelled. Amen.
Amen.